You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All of you Foxborough faithful, you are now locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast, and thank football and Foxborough, it's Friday here on your daily home for news, notes, and analysis, infused with the occasional opinion, on your six-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Locked On Patriots is presented today by Pepsi, made for football watching. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Happy Friday, Patriots Nation. It is almost game day. Your New England Patriots prepare to host Jimmy G and the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, October 25th, 4:25 p.m. Eastern, Gillette Stadium, Foxborough, Massachusetts. And today here on the pod, we will be getting you ready for the return of the prodigal Paisan himself, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the defending NFC champion San Francisco 49ers in this Week 7 matchup. My name is Mike DeBate, your host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, which, of course, is a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And folks, because it's your team every day, that means your questions, comments, and feedback are always welcomed and very much encouraged. Feel free to share that feedback anytime by reaching out to me and following me on Twitter at MDABATEFPC. And while you're out there giving the weekend nod and saying, how you doing to the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Pats fans, I know it's hard to believe that we are already in Week 7 of the 2020 NFL season. It's been an up-and-down year for the league, and an up-and-down year for your New England Patriots. At times, this team has looked like every bit a contender in the AFC, and at other times, they've looked like they've been struggling to find their identity. This week, they have a very formidable opponent in the San Francisco 49ers. A tough defense, an offense that can beat you in a number of ways, and a very sound coaching staff. Since Wednesday, we've been talking about how the Niners have been decimated by injury. Players like Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, out for the year, they're not returning. Dee Ford, a key cog in that San Francisco front seven, will also not be playing in this game. Richard Sherman is on IR. That's a lot of star power to be missing. But also, as we've been saying all week, the Niners are still 3-3, and their next men up are doing a great job of keeping this team afloat. As for your New England Patriots, well, they've had their issues with health and injury as well. Save for the COVID-19 fiasco that plagued the team for about 2 weeks, they've been without some pretty key components on offense for a little bit. David Andrews, Sony Michel, just to name a couple. Sony is still on IR. He will not be suiting up on Sunday, but David Andrews just might be. And if Andrews is able to give it a go in this game, and all signs right now, folks, point to yes, that will give this Patriots offensive line some much-needed stability, help provide protection for the running backs and for Cam Newton, and just might help to cure some of the woes that are causing a lot of unrest in Patriots Nation right now when it comes to the Pats offense. Of course, none of us are going to forget that making his return to New England this weekend is former Patriots quarterback, current 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. And in the interest of not feeding into the Patriots made the wrong choice by trading Jimmy G and keeping Tom 3 years ago, I'm not even going to get into that. Jimmy's job is to come in here and lead the 49ers to victory. The Patriots' job is to stop them from doing that. And much like both of these teams, Jimmy's 2020's been up and down as well. He's been fighting a high ankle sprain injury. It's been giving him a lot of difficulty pushing off, making throws. In fact, 2 weeks ago, a lot of people were wondering whether the Jimmy G era in San Francisco had come to an end. He was put on the bench. Bounced back quite nicely last week against the Los Angeles Rams. He's going to be looking to build upon that. But his sensei emeritus, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots have a way of making life difficult for young quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks that have played right here in New England. So once again, the action on the field is the first and most important story, but there are tons of small storylines surrounding this game. And here today on Locked On Patriots to help me break it all down is my good friend Tanya Ray Fox of FS1 and the Almost Shameless podcast. And we will be discussing Cam Newton's recent struggles, whether it's more of a weapons thing or a circumstances thing. We'll also talk about what kind of schemes Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick will have in store for the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. And, of course, Tanya will give her game prediction on this Week 7 matchup coming up at Gillette on Sunday. Also, make sure to stay tuned to the conclusion of today's episode. I will be offering my opinion regarding the items on which you should be keeping a sharp eye on Sunday. And, of course, we'll close the program as we always do here on Friday by offering my game prediction. Pats fans, it is almost game day, and as such, we have an action-packed agenda on the pod, so sit tight, settle in, and Tanya Ray Fox will join me here on the hot seat in just a moment. But first, we give you a health check on both teams heading into this matchup. And of course, when it comes to injury and practice participation reports, Friday's report was not issued at the time I'm reporting this podcast. Keep a sharp eye out for that on Friday evening, but according to Thursday's report, running back James White did not participate for the second straight day with a non-injury related issue. I am happy to report, though, James was on the practice fields on Friday, was participating in drills, looked to be a full participant, so at this point, we're expecting James to play, and that is great news for the New England Patriots. However, the Patriots did have a handful of players that were limited in their availability. Adam Butler is still listed with a shoulder injury. He didn't have the elbow listed along with it, so hopefully the Patriots have dodged a bullet there. I do expect Adam to go in this one, but again, Friday's report will be telltale. Kyle Duggar is also on the report with an ankle injury. Julian Edelman continues to be listed with a knee, Shaq Mason is listed with his calf, and a new addition, defensive end Derek Rivers with a back injury. On the opposite side, the San Francisco 49ers had three players not participating in Thursday's practice. Linebacker Quan Alexander, he's been battling an ankle injury. Also battling the ankle is running back Raheem Mostert. All indications are that Mostert will not be able to go in this game. And also safety Jacquisi Tartt, who's out with a groin injury. It's still unknown whether he's going to be listed as out or questionable for this game, but he's a very physical safety, someone that definitely adds a lot of pop to that San Francisco secondary. So keep an eye on that one, too. If he's out, that might mean the Patriots may look to test that secondary of the 49ers a little bit more than they normally would. Also, one of San Francisco's top offensive linemen, tackle Trent Williams, was limited in his availability on Thursday. He's been working his way through an ankle injury. All indications are Williams should be able to go on Sunday, but if he's in any way limited, look for the Patriots defensive front to try to win those battles a little bit more and create more havoc in the passing game and in the run game for the 49ers offense. So placing health concerns aside for just a moment, it's time to talk logistics, business on the field. And the stage is set for this 4:25 p.m. matchup on Sunday between the 2-3 New England Patriots and the 3-3 San Francisco 49ers. And making her way to the hot seat in just a moment is Tanya Ray Fox of FS1 as we break down anything and everything regarding this Week 7 matchup between the Pats and the Niners at Gillette. Locked On listeners, I've always thought that breaks in the action are the perfect time to evaluate how far you've come and adjust your game plan accordingly to get where you need to go, achieve your goal, break through your wall, if you will. But sometimes you need a little bit of extra energy to help get there. If I'm being honest, it happens to me more often than not. And when I need that extra energy boost plus protein, I turn to the same amazing group that brought us the world's fastest growing protein bar. Built Go, the incredibly tasty energy plus protein gel that makes you the best you at whatever you do. Whether it's a mental or a physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. First, it's easily portable, available in 1 1/2 ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. Carry it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or simply put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go gives you that energy, plus it's natural, so it's better for the body. Available in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. And it's loaded with good stuff to help ignite my motivation. Ingredients like beta-alanine, honey, a kick of caffeine, vitamins B3, B6, and B12, along with collagen protein to help promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Don't delay, do it today. That's BuiltGo.com and promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go! Patriots fans, the Pats are making their final preparations for the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. And because this game will feature a West Coast opponent, I thought we'd end the week by adding some West Coast style. But don't let the domicile fool you. There's still plenty of East Coast left in my guest today. One of our favorites here on the pod. Someone that is one of the best at providing spot-on insight with razor-sharp wit.
You know her great work from platforms such as USA Today, NFL Network, NBC Sports Boston. She's currently providing amazing work for FS1, and her podcast, The Almost Shameless Podcast, is sincerely highly recommended by yours truly. So the question beckons, where is the Twitter verification? Come on, folks, we got to make this happen. The incomparable Tanya Ray Fox is back here on Locked On Patriots. Thank you so much for joining me today, my friend.
As always, it's such a pleasure. And you always, in these intros, reminds me of something I didn't even think of. And I didn't even realize that it's a West Coast on the East Coast game this week, providing a little bit of that California energy in Boston. Of course, we know the East Coast always wins out, and that's what we're hoping for this week. So that's exciting. That gives me a little bit of an extra pep in my step, ready to dive into this game.
Absolutely. You know, it's always good when East takes on West. You know, we think Celtics Lakers, we think Sox Dodgers, a lot of different things go through your head. Of course, Dodgers, we may not want to think about that right now up here in New England. Mookie Betts doing some pretty great things in the World Series. And I'll tell you, it hurts the heart, Tanya. It really, really does. But what are you going to do? It is what it is. And we have to keep going forward. But again, folks, I do want to remind you that it is the weekend. Get the hashtag viral. Hashtag verify TRF. It's the right thing. It's the just thing. We got bi-coastal audiences watching this game. It needs to happen, and we're going to make it happen. Don't you worry. Tanya, the Patriots sit below 500. They're 2-3 on the 2020 season so far. Unfamiliar territory for Bill Belichick and company. And a tough opponent in the San Francisco 49ers are coming to town for a Sunday afternoon matchup. Of course, this one is marked by the return of Jimmy Garoppolo. I've been using the tagline all week long. The prodigal Paisan returning to Foxborough. And we will talk that matchup in just a moment. But, my friend, a lot of the rhetoric this week, for better or for worse, has been the play of the Patriots' current quarterback, and that's Cam Newton. There's a significant split amongst fans. I wouldn't say it's a huge split, but there are more than I expected that are getting on Cam a little bit, really kind of dissecting his recent play and the reasons for it. We've heard everything from, oh, it's just field rust from missing some time from the practice field, or his receivers aren't getting separation. And I'll get into that in a moment too. There are also people that believe that there are deeper problems with Cam's fit in this offense. Pulling on my inner Vincent LaGuardia Gambini for a moment here. It's been argued by me, the defense, that Cam is going to be just fine. I think this is just a matter of seeing far too little time on the practice field. I think his level of play is going to be much higher this week. But that being said, he does need some cooperation around him, too, from his skill position players. So, Miss Fox, tell me, does the defense's case hold water?
Absolutely not. Well, I don't know if you're the defense or the prosecution in this situation. I lost the metaphor a bit. However, I do not have concerns about Cam Newton at this moment. I completely agree with you. I think that Cam is, again, I feel for Patriots fans who are frustrated with Cam because they've been set up to feel this way, right? You move on from Tom Brady, who for so long was able to, like we said, for years, sort of make up for deficiencies on the roster in a way that we've really never seen from other quarterbacks. He is the GOAT for so many reasons, but one of the more underlying reasons is that he could overcome, you know, lack of talent at the receiver position. He could overcome injuries on the offensive line. He could make up for maybe a weak year for the defense. There were all these little things that he was able to do that always kept the Patriots in the game. And we saw that fall off just a bit last season. But for the most part, that was the culture of the Patriots for the better part of 20 years. And because of the way the season's gone this year, no preseason, very little practice for this team over the last, you know, over the two-week span between the Chiefs game and the Broncos game, and the circumstances under which they played those games are all factors that set a team up to fail to start. And I think you put any quarterback in that position, they're going to have a difficult time. Now you factor in that you're putting a quarterback who's in a new system, who's had very little time to really work with an offensive coordinator that he's still getting to know. They do have some injury issues on the offensive line, which I'm sure I'll talk about later. And they aren't uber talented at the receiver positions. And there is a lot of, like, you know, we've seen this work. We've seen the Patriot way work in these position groups before, where they, you know, elevate maybe lower level talent through scheme and everything else. But you can't elevate talent through scheme when you're not able to get on a practice field and you're not able to play preseason games and you're not able to develop a rhythm with a quarterback who is completely different from the one you've been working with for the last 20 years. I have noticed that Josh McDaniels doesn't seem to always know what to do with Cam Newton when things aren't going well. I think it's very easy to know what to do with Cam Newton when the game is going well. When you fall behind and injuries are happening and there's lack of gelling on the field and everything else, that's where you have to start to get really creative with what you're able to do. And I think that, you know, I'm very critical of Josh McDaniels on Twitter because I see that, like, inability and that lack of preparedness to know what to do with a really talented guy. But I think I'm a little hard on him sometimes because I'm not sure what more he could be doing considering the restrictions that they've been under for a majority of the last 6 months.
Yeah, with a lot of emphasis on that as well, especially in the last 6 months. You mentioned, COVID. You mentioned the difficulties that the Patriots have had, not just the Patriots, but all teams in the NFL. But the Patriots have been hit particularly hard. And when one of your best players, arguably the best player that you have on your team, goes down with COVID-19 and he has to sit out a significant period of time, it can change things a little bit. But I agree with you. The play calling has been a little bit erratic. There have been difficulties getting Cam the receptions and the preparedness around him that he's going to need to be able to make plays. And that does lead me into my next question for you, my friend, which is essentially that a lot of people have been harping on the fact that the Patriots wide receivers have not been getting the proper separation, have not been getting open, that there's difficulty, Cam's having difficulty finding them in the open field. They might be running poor routes. We've heard a lot of the rhetoric going on. The tight end position has been virtually invisible this year. Devin Asiasi, Dalton Keene, very seldom targeted, if any targets. Ryan Izzo is getting the majority of the targets at tight end. Even those haven't been robust. And you're calling upon a guy that's doing his best to play tight end one, but really is best suited probably to play tight end three, if we're being honest. The offensive line, to me, has definitely taken a hit this year with all of the injuries, some of the opt-outs, and last week playing with a makeshift offensive line that just, you know, had everybody playing out of position. This week, the Patriots look to get some guys back in that offensive line. That may restore some continuity. How confident are you in the supporting cast around Cam Newton to make him look better this week, or are the Patriots still lacking in that department? And dare I say, Tanya, may they need to go outside the organization for a little bit of help?
Listen, there are two, you know, halves of the season that we have to look at when we're determining whether or not this team is capable of winning games going forward, right? And there's the first three games of the season, and then there's the next two. They are two completely different situations. Because in week four against the Chiefs, they didn't have Cam Newton and they had two pretty inept backups who clearly were not prepared to play in that game. And the Patriots still came within, you know, a possession of potentially tying that game or winning it. I mean, they kept themselves in that because of the defense. Okay, so then they get the forced bye. They're back on the field last week against the Broncos, and everything that could possibly go wrong offensively basically did. Cam was rusty. The play calling was off. The offensive line was awful. He never had a clean pocket. You know, a lot of the separation stuff that people are talking about, I think, is massively overblown. I watched some of the tape, and the fact of the matter is Cam was constantly under pressure. Like, I don't know there – how long do you want them to be running around out there? I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, like, we don't have a DeAndre Hopkins out there playing for the Patriots. Like, it's still an older Julian Edelman. You still got N'Keal Harry, who is like just can't seem to catch a break in one of these games and really open up. I don't really know what I saw over the last 2 weeks that makes me think the first 3 weeks were a fluke. This offense, when they are running the ball well and they are able to give Cam a little bit of time, is a really functional offense. Are they going to be a superstar offense in the league? No. But Cam can still be a superstar, and he can still make incredible plays on his feet, especially in the red zone. And those opportunities are not coming over the last 2 weeks for a thousand different reasons. Could it be that they don't, that this group is not talented enough? Maybe. But I watched them hang in a shootout with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. You know, I watched what they did against the Raiders, who beat the Chiefs. They have played decent competition, you know, before all of the COVID stuff, that made me think this is a system that can work with these players. Every year we do this and we say, like, can they go out and get somebody else to help? For the most part, they don't, you know, and if they, do I think that somebody could come in and help them? I mean, maybe, like, they thought that with Mohamed Sanu. I'm not really sure how much difference he ended up making. It's like, unless there's a superstar out there waiting to change the game for them, I'm not sure how much of a difference it's going to make. You and I both know Bill Belichick's probably going to avoid that unless he sees somebody that really catches his eye. He doesn't bring in players just for the sake of it. This is the team that he built, and he doesn't keep players on the roster that he doesn't believe in. So in some ways, I find it really difficult to look at this offense and like and talk about the lack of separation and talk about, you know, Cam's struggles and everything else when there's all these other explanations for why the last 2 weeks have been so bad. You know, it's just it seems a little bit counterproductive to, you know, like this is Julian Edelman had a career game in week one and he hurt himself. And that's kind of thrown off his rhythm and his ability to perform at his best. He's older, whatever. But I didn't see a player that wasn't capable of being the type of receiver that can help Cam Newton. I just see a team that has been in strife, and we have such a hard time being able to separate the off the field stuff and what they've gone through from what we've seen over the last 2 weeks. You have to look at it as you have to look at these 2 weeks as a separate thing. They're going to have a full week to prepare this week. They're going to be able to play at especially if some of these offensive line players are, if they have David Andrews, if they have Shaq Mason, if some of this stuff starts to fall back into place and they look that bad this week, okay, I'll start talking to you about that. But I'm not going to get ahead of myself after I saw a lot of really good stuff from weeks 1 through 3.
That's a great point, and I'm glad that you made that. Look, I think a lot of times fans, media alike, can really get lost in the rhetoric of, oh, we need this big shiny new toy to come in to right the ship on offense. We need this guy. Bill needs to go out. He needs to make a trade. We get excited about different players that can be added to this roster and looking at different types of players that could play alongside Cam Newton, forgetting full well what you just described. The Patriots move the ball very efficiently in their games against Miami, against Las Vegas, against the Seattle Seahawks, albeit in a loss. I was very impressed by the offense, especially in the second half, from what they did. You mentioned separation. A lot of that comes from, I think, again, the rhetoric that's out there in the day. We've seen several beat writers defend the offensive skill position players that the Patriots employ, saying that some of it has been on Cam. For the record, Cam has actually himself this week when all the right things, and I think it's coming from a place of sincerity. I don't think he's trying to cover up for his teammates. I think he really looks at himself and knows that he can do a better job. That's the mark of a great quarterback. You always want to be improving. I commend him for that, and I think it's honorable. But at the same time, you look at maybe some of the difficulties that he's having. Some of it could come from separation. Mike Reese, who's one of the best in the business, published an interesting piece this morning on Friday stating that according to NFL Next Generation Stats, which uses the player tracking to, you know, assess separation, 29.5 of the targets to Patriots receivers have been thrown into a tight window, which is 1 yard or less. That's the highest rate of any wide receiver unit in the NFL. So maybe with a little bit more practice, maybe with a little bit better protection on the offensive line, you mentioned having David Andrews back, Shaq Mason back. Mike Onwenu has been good. I think he'll step in now knowing that this is going to be his role for at least the next 3 weeks while Jermaine Illuminor comes back. They gain more continuity. Joe Tooney is all of a sudden playing in his right position. Isaiah Wynn can go back to the left tackle, and all of a sudden we can have the O-line that we thought we were getting at the beginning of the year. I think that can fix a lot of problems. So, Tanya, always spot on. You know, it's always a pleasure when you stop by the pod. And I thank you for talking us off the ledge here a little bit and lending a little bit of level-headed wisdom and counsel when it comes to the Patriots' woes and knowing that, yeah, maybe they will have to fix things down the line, but there's still a lot of talent left on this team and the right pieces in the locker room to be able to do it. We've talked Cam, we've talked some Patriots supporting cast, but this matchup on Sunday is shaping up to be a chess match. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, in just a moment, Tanya Ray Fox and I will discuss the sensei versus the student and much more in this weekend's game when the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. Patriots fans, I'm honored as always to be joined by my friend Tanya Ray Fox of FS1 and the Almost Shameless podcast. And Tanya, of course, all the talk about Cam Newton this week has led some to beat the drum that the Patriots made an error in trading Jimmy Garoppolo to the Niners back in 2017. It still makes me laugh every time I hear it. The Patriots absolutely made the right decision in trading Jimmy, keeping Tom. I still don't know how this is even a discussion, but I digress. Facing a former quarterback does have its challenges. Don't forget, Jimmy knows Josh McDaniels. He knows Bill Belichick. He knows the way the Patriots run their system. So that could have its challenges. But Bill Belichick is pretty good at making his former signal callers look mortal, maybe even a little bit less than that at times. Tanya, when you look at this game objectively, what type of game should we expect to see from Jimmy on Sunday? What type of game should we expect to see from Cam on Sunday? In your opinion, who has the better day?
Well, I have to look at last week and Jimmy's performance against the Rams and try to use that to put some perspective on things. I think that there is one thing that people do all the time when analyzing NFL Sunday, and they always let a really strong win over a division rival get a lot more, you know, they let it linger in their heads. They take it for a lot more than they should, because what happens is teams know each other really well. The Niners and the Rams know each other really well. And Jimmy Garoppolo coming out and looking insane last week against the Rams is not an indication of how he's going to play on the road against the Patriots. So these are very different situations. It's a completely different defense. Like you said, Jimmy knows this defense, and I don't think it matters. I don't think that anybody who knows the Patriots defense is going to give them much of a heads up, because the Patriots defense, specifically their secondary, are just elite. You know, like that secondary is elite. And I think that there are going to be a lot of what he did last week against the Rams was like these screen passes and touch passes to Deebo Samuel. And that's the kind of stuff that the Patriots can work with. Like they can, I do think that it's really going to come down to, you know, maybe the linebacker stepping up a little bit in those situations. And we're talking, you know, I know they moved Chase Winovich inside last week to try to help inside, and they did all this crazy stuff. I think they'll be able to open themselves back up against the Niners in those situations. The defense on the other side, when you're talking about Cam Newton, is really all about their secondary as well, because they're so injured up front. No Nick Bosa, no Solomon Thomas, no Dee Ford. You know, Daryl Henderson had a great game last week for the Rams running against that patchwork front. And the Patriots do a pretty good job of utilizing their running backs when in those situations. I mean, I know Bosa and Thomas for the most part are known for their pass defense, but it's still an injured front. And they have a lot that they can take advantage of. And again, they've got Cam Newton. They've got Cam Newton after a week of practice, healthy, no COVID. He, you know, don't forget what he's capable of doing in the run game. And again, when you get the running game going, you open things up for your receivers. So I do think those opportunities are going to be there for Cam. They have to get over the fact that N'Keal Harry is not going to get separation. He didn't get separation in college. He's not going to get separation now. That's not what he does. He throw him the ball and he will catch it. Just do it. I'm so sick of people talking about this. Start utilizing the receivers you have in the ways that they're capable of being utilized, and things are going to click. I do think if they're able to do that, that Cam Newton and his offense can definitely battle Jimmy G and the 49ers offense based on the fact that the Patriots have the better defense. And at the end of the day, the opportunities that Cam is going to get are going to be more and more frequent than the ones that Jimmy is going to get. We know that the Patriots can handle George Kittle. How much? I don't know. But they did perfectly fine against Waller and perfectly fine against Kelce. So if they can handle Kittle and Deebo Samuel, then like let Jamichael Hasty or whatever other backup running back they have go in there and dare them to beat you that way. I think that Cam Newton and the Patriots do have a really big opportunity offensively to prove that they can capitalize on what their defense gives them.
Yeah, without question. I definitely think they will try to run the ball against the Patriots defense. That's still the 49ers' claim to fame. Look, whether they do it by a jet sweep with Deebo Samuel carrying the ball out of the backfield, we've seen Kyle Yustick be able to carry the ball for short yardage. We've even seen George Kittle take the ball out of the backfield every now and then. Talk about versatility. You never see a tight end do that. He's got the ability to do it. But at the end of the day, they are missing guys like Raheem Mostert. They're missing Tevin Campbell. Jerick McKinnon going to get the lion's share of the carries, but at the same time, you know the Patriots are going to be ready for it, and the fact that Adam Butler has been out on the practice fields, even though he's been limited, is a good sign for the Patriots' run defense. We may see the return of Bo Allen. For a while, nobody believed he actually existed. We see him on the field this week. It's good to see him back. Getting that traditional nose tackle definitely is going to help them be able to form a formidable a defense against the run, and will allow the linebackers and the secondary to play in position. At the same time, I like what you said about the offense. I think they're going to continue to attack zone coverage, which is something that San Francisco likes to employ. Patriots are doing a very good job at shredding that because of Cam Newton's vision and how he's going to be able to see it. So I think a lot of things will go into this, a lot of factors without any question, but I think this is a little more of a favorable matchup for the New England Patriots than a lot of national pundits are giving it credit for. So that leads me quite nicely into my last question for you today. Just giving your honest opinion on what you expect to see out of the Patriots defense, out of the offense, what you expect to see from the Niners. How is this one going to shake out? Feel free to sprinkle in a final score prediction, but I'm not going to put you on the spot for it. Just what do you expect to see from this matchup on Sunday, Tanya?
Expanding on what I was saying before, I think it's going to be come down to the run game on both sides, on both offenses. And, you know, part of that is because of some of the injuries the 49ers have. And part of that is because that's what the Patriots have done best offensively because of who they have at quarterback and what their personnel is there. I think that is, the 49ers secondary is a little bit underrated in some ways. They are, they have some pretty physical safeties. Jason Verrett's healthy and Emmanuel Mosley's back. They both, Emmanuel Mosley played really well last week. And I do think that it's going to take a little bit of time for the receivers to kind of start getting into a rhythm. And I think that this is a good secondary to try to do it against. They're not elite, but they've got some really physical players. And I'm interested to see how they handle that, especially when, with any luck, they're going to have to blitz a little bit to keep the run game suppressed on that end, and then reverse it. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a pretty difficult time going downfield at all. And so again, this is going to come down to them, the Niners doing the same exact thing that the Patriots are doing, working out of the backfield. A lot of those, like James White, Deebo Samuel, little screen passes, funky little things. We know Kyle Shanahan has a gajillion tricks up his sleeve. And I'm really interested to see what Josh McDaniels comes with, because there's so much of what Shanahan has done over the last couple of seasons with Jimmy Garoppolo and Debo Samuel and Mostert and these guys, along with Kittle, what he has been able to draw up and the creativity with which he uses those plays out of the backfield that I've wanted to see from Josh McDaniels, because I think he can do some of that really, like, they're not trick plays. It's just, he's incredibly good at drawing up stuff and getting defenses off of their rhythm and not knowing where they're supposed to cover. And I think McDaniels can do that with the guys that he has. James White can do it. Rex Burkhead can do it. We like what we've been seeing from Harris. This team is capable of being a little bit more complex than they've been, again, because they haven't been able to do what they've wanted to do over the last few weeks, purely because they cannot get themselves on the field as a full healthy unit, either on practice or on game day. And I do think that little chess match is going to be a lot between McDaniels and Shanahan, more so than McDaniels and Belichick, because Belichick is, for what, you know, this season, really allowing himself to go all in on the defense. And like, it's not, let's not fool ourselves. We know that Bill Belichick knows what's going on offensively, and he's always involved in every part of the game. But this is going to come down to their play calling. It really is. And if the Patriots can hang in there with Shanahan and the 49ers and what they're doing offensively, the Patriots are going to win the game because they have the better defense. This is a top 6-7 defense, according to most people across the league, nationally and locally. They have the edge on the other side of the ball. So with that being said, I do think the Patriots are going to come out with the win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means, but if I were to give you a score, let's go 27-21.
Not bad. You're very, very close. And I always close my show by giving my final prediction, so I'm not going to give it just yet. But let's just say you're very close to what I'm thinking as well. And I agree with you. I think in a lot of ways, what we're going to see is a chess match between Josh McDaniels and Kyle Shanahan. I think this is going to be an offensive chess match. The sensei Bill Belichick on defense, I think, has the upper hand. Look at all of the injuries that the San Francisco 49ers have been subject to this year. You look at guys like, first of all, Dee Ford is not going to play in this game. Nick Bosa is out for the year. Solomon Thomas is out for the year. That would have decimated any other unit. The fact that their next men up have been able to play as well as they have been, I think, is a testament to great coaching on Robert Saleh and that defensive coaching staff. But at the same time, you're looking at the New England Patriots right now that can match them and I think be the better unit. So ultimately, I also look for a tight game this weekend, but I think it's going to be an interesting one, and I think it'll be a good one in Foxborough. And Tanya, what can I say? I can't thank you enough for stopping by the pod. Always, always fun to have Fridays with Fox here on Locked On Patriots. We've missed it for a little while, but it was great to be able to get this one in, especially in this bi-coastal game coming up on Sunday. Before I let you go, my friend, please let our listeners know where they can find you, all of your great work, and what you have coming up on the horizon.
Yes, always at Tanya Ray Fox on Twitter and Instagram, at Shameless TRF on Twitter and Instagram for the podcast. I've been doing little videos, going to be doing more of that stuff coming up. New episode coming out this week of the podcast. Got a new website that's going to debut next week, hopefully. TanyaRayFox.com is getting an overhaul, so you can check that out. And yeah, there's just that's kind of what I'm working on now. We're getting our equipment ordered from Amazon to start doing some more video podcast elements. That's been a fun little quarantine project. So lots on the horizon for Almost Shameless, and I'm excited about that. That's probably the biggest thing for me right now, is just kind of upping the ante with all that stuff. And I know you know that it's a lot of work, you know? It's a lot of work for a one-man operation, so it's been fun.
It truly is. And you do it with class, you do it with style. And I look forward to it all. Again, folks, I highly recommend anything and everything Tanya does. It's always top notch. It's always spot on, and it's always accurate. What can I say? Once again, thank you again for joining me today. Continue to stay safe. Continue to stay well. We always look forward to having you back here on a Friday to class up the joint here on Locked On Patriots. But it's my honor to share the microphone with you as always, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Mike. You bring the class as much as anyone else, so I'm always happy to do it. And I look forward to watching the game this weekend and talking with you soon.
Absolutely. I look forward to it as well. And thank you for the compliment. It truly means a lot to me. That was nice of you to say.
Of course. And I mean it with every ounce of my soul.
Likewise, I assure you. Thanks again.
Bye, Mike.
And so, Patriots fans, it's that time again. Time for me to open up my trusty Sharpie notebook here on Locked On Patriots and let you know the items I'll be watching for on Sunday as your New England Patriots take on the San Francisco 49ers. As you heard Tanya Ray Fox say earlier, I too expect this one to come down to the running games. Last week against the Broncos, the Pats didn't really have a whole lot of success running the football. 41 yards on 15 carries. I attribute a lot of that to the offensive line and the fact that you had four players that were playing in a different position. As a result, Cam really never looked comfortable, and the Patriots seemed to get away from the run early. They were just completely taken out of their game plan. I don't expect that this week. The Patriots should employ an offensive line with linemen playing in their true positions, at least for the most part, and one that's been practicing together all week. I think that's a point that needs to be made more often than not. That offensive line last week was playing out of position and without a whole lot of practice. When you take that under consideration, you can't expect much more from that unit than it actually gave you. The 49ers are a very good run defensive team, so it's not going to be easy for the Patriots to run the football. They love to play a base 4-3 under that's designed to stop the run and pressure the quarterback. Believe it or not, it's very similar to what you saw the Seattle Seahawks employ in Week 2. The Patriots were able to exploit that behind solid play from an offensive line, a versatile running game, and most importantly, solid mobility from the quarterback position. I believe Cam Newton is going to provide that this week. San Francisco in this incarnation has really struggled against mobile quarterbacks. So, as Tanya Ray Fox just said a moment ago, expect Josh McDaniels to dial up a lot of option runs for Cam to take advantage of, and I believe that will really open up the Patriots' offense this week. If you're wondering about the passing game, well, that's typically where the Patriots struggle. So you're probably asking yourself, if the Patriots struggle when passing the football, why doesn't San Francisco just force them into doing that? Keep Cam in the pocket, make them throw the football, let's see if their wide receivers can get separation, get open, and run the correct routes. Well, the reason why the Niners may not do that as much as you think is because, again, they play that 4-3 base defense. That means playing a lot of zone coverage when defending the pass. The Patriots have done an excellent job exploiting that. They did so against Seattle. I expect them to do that again this week against the 49ers. Granted, Cam Newton's going to have to be a lot sharper in this game than he was in the previous games. I fully expect him to be. He knows what's on the line, and I have full confidence in his ability and his pride to put out a much better performance this week than he did last week. As a result, I think he'll find those soft spots in the zone, gather up some of those chunk plays, and even if San Francisco adjusts to more man coverage and tries to make Cam beat them through the air, I think you're going to see him quite ready for that. And don't be surprised to see the wide receivers make a play or two this week. N'Keal Harry's heard all this chatter. So is Julian Edelman. Even guys like Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski. Damir Byrd could get some looks. We hope, beyond all hope, that the tight ends start to get some play in this offense, especially Devin Asiasi. We've heard about his explosive play. Now's the time to let it out. I know I'm making it sound like it's easy to score on the San Francisco defense. Trust me, folks, it's not. You're going to see that on the field on Sunday, but I like the Patriots' ability to make plays, and I think they can make slightly more plays against this San Francisco defense than the Niners' offense will against the Patriots' defense. Most weeks, the key to trying to stop the Niners' offensive attack is to shut down the running game and the jet sweeps. They do such a great job with Deebo Samuel carrying the ball out of the backfield, and the Niners typically employ two of the best running backs in the league in Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman. The problem is both of those guys are out. They're on injured reserve. Neither one of them are going to go on Sunday. They still have the rookie Jamichael Hasty that Tanya mentioned a moment ago, and also Jerick McKinnon. The Niners have a very good offensive line, but if Trent Williams is going to be compromised, the Patriots may be able to exploit that. I think they put out a five-man front to try to take away those outside zone concepts, and they want to try to drop into coverage for play action. Patriots have done this before, but they need to execute much better this week than they have for the last couple of weeks. If they can control the Niners' running attack, then I look for them to employ what Evan Lazar of CLNS Media calls the Flores Blueprint. A couple of weeks ago, Miami Dolphins and old friend Brian Flores seemed to lay out a pretty nice roadmap that the Patriots can follow to help stop Jimmy Garoppolo. If Jimmy is clicking on all cylinders, the way to do that is to put a heavy defensive emphasis on taking away the middle of the field. To do that, they're going to have to employ a game plan that tries to take away slants, crossers, and trying to force Jimmy and the Niners to beat them outside the numbers. Jimmy really struggled with this a couple of weeks ago, and I know Bill Belichick and his defensive coaching staff know what Brian Flores did. This type of defense requires strong play by the safeties, so look for Devin McCourty to step it up big. Adrian Phillips, Kyle Duggar, Juwan Williams, I think they'll all see time at safety as well. And in the final analysis, I think this is what ultimately decides the game. I think the Patriots provide just enough confusion for Jimmy Garoppolo to prevent the Niners from being able to effectively move the ball against the Patriots. As a result, folks, I look for the Pats to take this one in a razor-thin matchup at Gillette. And yes, folks, there is a pun intended there. I'm picking the Pats to come out on top on this one, 24-21 at Gillette Stadium on Sunday. And with that, Pats Nation, the time for the talk is over. It's time to play the game. And starting on Sunday at 4:25 p.m. Eastern, we'll find out if I was right in my 24-21 Patriots victory prediction. But whether I'm right or wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, I will be back here again on Monday to break down all of the action we see on the Gillette Stadium field. So to ensure that you do not miss a single second of the action, make sure to download Locked On Patriots wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us and subscribe to us on platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure you're staying locked into Locked On Patriots. Once again, my name is Mike DeBate. I thank my guest Tanya Ray Fox for her time, her insight, and her appearance on today's pod. But most of all, I thank you so much for listening and for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Until Monday, Patriots Nation, stay safe. Stay well, continue to be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great weekend, everyone, and enjoy the game on Sunday.